5 years later, the disability ends. Now, we can look at also, and Ian is the master of, to be fair, data. I'm the just the master of maths. So Ian would be able to give me data, but we built it originally on a 5 year, only because I know a friend of mine went through this, but a 5 year disability. Now, that's not the only thing we have to consider, because I've now done that, but how many people in that position can come back, recover fully, to be able to return to a similar role that they had before this took place? So what I tend to do is I go to the income. The income will stop when the disability starts, but what I want to create is a step that says, on return to work here, you're going to be earning slightly less than half what you were before, right? So that we're creating an income, but we're recognizing that this could be a long-term mental or physical health condition. So that's all I've done. I've added in a disability and I've reduced the income post-disability. I've left the same retirement ages. That could be called into question. And we'll click done.
Yeah, John, can I just come in for one
please.
Moment? And I'm going to drop something in the chat that really supports and to help people on this,
yeah.
Which is our facts and figures document from Protection Guru on income protection claims. And if I can just take the screen for a minute to put this into context. The longest income protection claim we've been able to identify so far, hopefully, are you seeing my screen?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 37 years and 7 months. When some research was done by the Financial Services Consumer Panel a couple of years ago into why people tended to buy income protection, sorry, critical illness rather than income protection, they did some really good consumer research. And that came back with the answer that consumers don't really trust that insurers will keep on paying claims year in, year out, which triggered us to go and have a look at, well, what's the history of that? And as you say, we have these claims facts and figures documents. British Friendly paid an IP claim after 1 day. The youngest claimant on a CI policy last year was a 20-year-old for Zurich. The oldest was a 69-year-old. And so the data goes on and on. And the other thing that advisors can find, if I just click through, is our claims case studies videos. And again, I'm going to drop this in the chat. Here you have, and actually this first one, Harvey's one, is a great claims case study. Don't watch these now, please. Watch them later. But these are a whole load of examples of where IP has made a dramatic difference to people maintaining their standard of lives. All that information, if any of you don't have access to Protection Guru, it's free to advisors. You will need to register to get to it. The address is protectionguru.co.uk. You've got the link there. I'll pass back to you, John, but I thought on that point of
how long
some of these claims can last, but I'll throw back to you now to reshare your screen. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Ian. And equally, we've got evidence that I can't remember the percentage, but who never go back to work.
Yeah.
So you know, fundamentally, I'm doing a version that I think sits middling of the road. I'm going to share my screen again. So if you all recall, and please don't watch those other videos because it makes me really think that I'm the boring one. So please don't.
You can watch them later.
Yeah, watch them later. So in this model, this is the test disability model. Remember, I killed it for 5 years, and then I've got a reduced income for the remainder of the plan. Now, the thing for me, and it comes to perhaps what Ian's just shown you there, those stories that you're going to look at later in inverted commas underlined, is that it's not only the financial impact, but it is the emotional and psychological impact. I'm going to show you the maths impact, the financial impact, but the story is much larger than that, because a lot of people will tell you, I believe in those stories, that how it helped them from a stress and a life-related situation. You can't put a value on that, But what we can do is put a value on the model. So I'm going to show you them side by side. So when you see this, the top one will be the original model. The bottom one, I'm saying that, the bottom one will be the disability model. The only thing that's changed is how long somebody worked without any problems versus the bottom one where we crashed and burned. And it's a harsh phrase, but I call this burning the plan. Okay, I call them lifestyle illustrations. But what you've got here is there's red is a powerful color. Now, I know I said earlier on, if red's at the far right of the model, it depends on when it kicks in as to whether you're bothered. Do you think you're going to live that long? So on and so forth. And we have data to suggest how long you might live. But in this model, we've got two aspects, one of which is the end date of 86, 84 is now 74, 72. Now, that's already feeling uncomfortable. It does to me. I'm sure it will do to a number of people on here because you would hope to live longer than that. But more importantly, what we've got here is during a period of time when we've got a mortgage and we've got a young child and we've got plans for the future, what we can't do is we can't pay nearly £50,000 worth of bills during these years. The first year, it's 12 because what I've done is the software has taken all of the accumulated assets that they had, apart from pensions. So the savings had already built up, that little nest egg has just been burned. Then we've got 4 years of not being able to pay a multitude of bills. Now the software will default to pay the mortgage first, but in real life, how long will a mortgage provider allow you to run and not pay your mortgage? 3, 6 months? After which time, what's your solution? It's to sell that place that you worked so hard for. So in terms of an emotional element, as well as a financial element, you've got it in Technicolor. That tells you how old I am. You've got it in ultra high definition. You've got red versus a nice lifestyle. Now, which is more likely to happen? Again, statistics will tell you that X number of people have got a one in whatever chance of getting ill for a long period of time. So for here, we've gone red. Now, that's created impact. It's visual. You can have a deep conversation around these periods of time. So it creates an engagement in the model and an emotional attachment to it. And then you'll see that I've done lots here, but we introduced 5 years with income protection. Now I'm doing that relatively straightforwardly. I put in an income protection plan. Now what I can't do is do a stepped income protection plan at the minute. But what I did was I built in protection here, which satisfied this particular shortfall. I'll change it back to blue. So we didn't have this shortfall. We weren't in jeopardy of losing our house. Then he got back to a reduced income job. So the income protection plan reduced accordingly. And effectively, whilst it's still running out at 77.75, we've still got the opportunity to build. I'll just click that out of the way. We've still got the opportunity to build further down the line. But what we have done is we've resolved their problems today. The ones that impact both partners, the child, the house, and everything else. And before anybody gets to say anything, there's a couple of things, and Ian and I have talked about this in the past. There used to be an order of advice. Now, when I worked at Lloyds Bank, it was known as PIMPCO. Some people will know it's PIPSI, but PIMPCO, protection, income protection, mortgage protection, pension, savings, investment, other. And that's the order you had to do the advice. Now, I speak to a lot of advisors who've never heard of that, which, and I'm old, I get that. But if there's another thing that you should take away is think of PIMPCO, because it's that order. And again, going back to perhaps what Colin said, and I think about this and reflected on this myself many, many moons ago. You protect your house, you protect your car, you protect your phone, you protect your cat. But, and it's an old school thing, who pays for it all? And if you're not protected, who's going to pay for it when you're not doing it? So
John, you've made a perfect point there, which is really, what's any client's biggest asset? It isn't their home. It isn't any saving they've got. It's themselves and their income. And that really highlights, I think, to me, you know, one of our key messages from this whole session is every financial plan fails without an income.
Yeah.
And I would also say, if you've been a wealth advisor and you've been happily looking after someone's wealth, suddenly they lose their income and they find that they could actually have insured relatively cheaply to protect that income. Do you think you're going to be looking after the assets in the long run? Probably not. I do hear a lot of people say that, you know, wealthy clients don't need income protection. John, can you very quickly, and knows a fair answer because I should have thought of this one before, can you just show us an example of somebody, say, 55?
Let me just bear with me a second. I'll have to stop sharing.
How quickly we can do that.
Yeah, let me just stop sharing just because.
In fact, what I'm going to do while you're doing that, I'm going to invite Matt Chapman to come on, give John a few minutes, and I am going to come back to the questions that we've got. A few people have put questions in for John, but Matt Chapman is an absolutely outstanding protection coach. And Matt, if you'd like to come to the screen and just talk to us generally about, you know, some of the tips. I would mention another great opportunity. Matt has a free 45-minute protection training session, which we will drop the details out to you after this. And he also has a paid-for session, which he very generously offers. Is it a 60% discount?
It is just for you, Ian, just for you.
A 60% discount for firms that are registered with Protection Guru. So if you're not registered with Protection Guru, you won't be able to find the code. So go and register with Protection Guru, then we'll show you where the code is. Matt, why, and particularly if you can focus on, do people want the cheapest product or do they want the best product? What's your experience? And actually, you gave me a great example. There was a firm you increased their income by, how much was it? It was quite a bit.
2,500% when it comes to full-time income protection.
By pivoting them from selling the cheapest plan to the best quality. So if I can invite you just to talk about those for a few minutes. And John, if you put a note in the chat when you're ready to revisit and show us an older person, that will be great.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me, everyone. Good afternoon. This is far from a sales pitch, guys. This is more about me just helping provide some context around how you can do this very effectively within your firms. Now, the truth of it is, and I have this kind of skewed perspective around protection, that I believe protection is the underpinning, it's the foundation of everything we do as advisors. I mean, if you think about it, our role as advisors is ultimately to ensure the client has the financial capability to actually execute the advice we're giving them. So if you're planning on discussing investments, wealth, pensions, planning, that sort of stuff, you need to make sure the client's actually financially resilient enough to execute that advice, regardless of what happens to them. And going back to some of the examples that I've heard, I think both Colin and John summarized it beautifully. You know, I've had a client when I was a mortgage advisor who had been off work for 24 years and we were still more than capable of arranging a mortgage for them by leveraging the income protection benefit they were receiving to get debt from the bank. So fundamentally, income is key. It's the key. But when we think about value, and Ian's question is spot on, it's like, what's most valuable? Well, let's just put some context around value for a minute. Most people will spend more each month on interest on their mortgage loan to the bank than they would ever need to invest in protecting their income sources for life, the very means by which they borrow and actually pay for those debts. More people will put an equivalent amount to their pension contribution than you would ever need to ring fence the income sources being used to make the pension contributions. And the reason I'm explaining it this way is to say, the only mechanism they're using to make those pension contributions, which then accumulate in the fund over time and compounding growth and providing that retirement income they're looking for, is all entirely coming on their ability to keep that income coming in, their ability to go to work and generate an income and make those contributions. Yet the amount required to insure it would be negligible compared to the compounding losses they would receive if they couldn't make those contributions and enjoy the funds growing. So what we did, and I'll give you a prime example of this, is how it works in practice. What we did at a firm, in fact, I went and did this with Zurich in Ireland, is we reframed for all the financial planners that were giving advice in this area. We reframed protection as being a sales product or an insurance contract to an investment in financial resilience. So when customers came into the door and were speaking to the financial planners, the conversation went the lines of, what is the goal here? And it's really interesting because we would all love to believe that the goal is the mortgage, They didn't come to us for protection, they came for the mortgage. Or they came because they want to talk about a pension, or they want to make some savings and investments. That is not the goal. That is a product, like the protection contract. The goal is something that sits behind it. So the best analogy I can give you, and I think John mentioned cars a minute ago, so I'll use a car analogy. It's a bit like saying the goal is not the car, it's the destination. But when you get into the car to drive to your destination, what's the first thing you do? You put on a seatbelt, and that's protection. Okay, so the whole fundamental thing we're talking about here is how do we ensure customers can reach their goals? And that goal might be retiring at a certain age with X amount of monthly income. It might be to purchase and retain the property they want to turn into a home. And the only way we can do that is to boost the client's level of financial resilience to income shocks so they can always execute the advice we're giving them. Otherwise, it's a pipe dream. So I said this to some mortgage advisors at a Senate yesterday. I said, actually, when you submit a mortgage application to a lender, you're stating to the bank that you've done your due diligence as an advisor, you've done your affordability checks, you've carried out some basic income stress testing, and you're confident as a regulated advisor that you believe the client has the financial capability to take on and service this debt for the duration of the term that you're recommending. How can you possibly guarantee that unless you protect the means by which they're borrowing and repaying? And this is what I'm trying to say to you guys. The cash flow modeling that John went through then was just perfect. It's a perfect example and illustration of it, because you're saying you would like to retire at this age. We're making these contributions. Right. In that case, we need to make sure you can make these contributions. So the first thing that advisors should do is establish exactly what the customer's goal is above all else. And then the second thing you should do is manage their expectations, exactly like Colin explained at the beginning, which is this is going to be part of our discussion. Your level of financial resilience and your income sustainability will be part of this discussion, because those are the means by which we're using to actually make the investments, etc. And then finally, managing expectations and in terms of agreeing the terms of engagement. So, you know, we talked about at the beginning, Colin said about terms of business. For me, I love that, because like, right, how do we engage? What are the terms of business? Well, if I tell you something's essential in order to maintain this advice I'm giving you or to achieve the goal that you've come to me for, then we agree it's essential and you're going to take my advice. Well, that would include protection. So it's assumed that that's what's going to happen. When I was at Zurich in Ireland, we tried this exercise with the financial planners. And what I basically said was, when someone comes in through the door and they want to make an investment in their pension, the first thing you want to understand is, what are we looking to invest and what is the actual goal here that we're trying to do? Oh, I'm trying to get an income of X, Y, Z. You use the cash flow model to work out what the contributions need to look like. And then what you do is you add a bit on top and say, right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make an investment of 1,100 euros a month. So what we're going to do is we're going to basically split the investment into two parts, both equally important. The 1,000 euros that goes into the fund and the 100 euros that goes into a contract that ensures you've always got the funds to be able to make the contributions. And what it does, it was done assumptively, and they saw they had record levels of income protection sales immediately after, because it was done in a way that the protection was treated like a fundamental integral part of the advice process, incumbent on their ability to actually achieve the objective they came to the advisor for. So what we've got to try and do as advisors is stop treating protection as a sales contract, something that we pitch in at the end of an advice process or something we try and coerce the client to take, into it is fundamental for the client to actually be able to execute the advice you're giving and for them to achieve the outcome and the goal they came to you for. And that's how we wrap it up.
If I can just for a moment, Matt, and John, can you do the older example in 5 minutes?
Yeah, probably less.
Sorry? Go on then, Seth.
I've just thrown it together.
Let's show an older example and how important it is, and put the sword to the myth that older wealthy clients don't need income protection.
Well, it's an interesting one, and I'm sure it'll raise some debate. However, all I've done, I've taken the original. Is that showing up on the screen now? Yeah. So what we've got is client. So if you, in the first model, we'd accumulated 30,000 pounds, I think, in savings. In this model, what we've got is typically some extra savings, some of those classic premium bonds that everybody emotionally likes to keep hold of, some investment ISAs. We've also got pensions that now are accumulating. That's above the national average at retirement currently, so they're healthy pension balances. Earning more because they're further down the line. Spending more because they're earning more, because that's what happens in real life, isn't it? The more you earn, the more you spend. And in this model, without any issues, again, we're at that kind of 84, 82 kind of bracket. So all I did was, again, taking into account 5 years, no protection. Now, I've messed around with this, so the other ones wouldn't work. Now, this one looks slightly different, because you can see there's no red during that period of time when the income has stopped completely. But why is that? Because we're burning through all of those accumulated assets that were for later life. So all of a sudden, we've got a model that runs out again at 75. So all of that hard work has literally been decimated. Because it's had to replace the income. There's no income protection plan in here. So you've got this nice bank of money. You're thinking everything's rosy in the garden. Well, 5 years out of work, with, and then followed by a reduced income. And I haven't solved the shortfall yet. And all of a sudden, we're running out of money at 75. So, and that's as quick and dirty as Ian as I could do it.
Yeah.
It just demonstrates the problem is different. It's now you lose all the stuff you've accumulated. And, well, your retirement goals that, Matthew, you're talking about there, this aspirational future, well, that's gone. And I always think, from a planning perspective, if you are doing regular premiums, those are going to stop. But a protection policy not only makes sure the client's okay, but it means that your regular premiums can also continue, because that's part of that whole cycle.
Absolutely. So the next thing I'm going to come to is this question of income protection. And when selling protection or giving, you know, it shouldn't be selling, it's when it's providing protection for that most important of assets to the customer. I'm going to turn to the question of, do they want the cheapest one or actually what's better value? And we should bear in mind that the regulator has now said that in a consumer duty world, they expect people to focus on